So our gospel reading today comes from Luke, the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears, and then she dried them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. "Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven, hence she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Well, dear friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus the Christ. Last week, our gospel text nearly ended with this verse. "For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" And here we are, a few verses later, and here he is, Jesus, at Simon the Pharisee's home, about to share a meal with him. But just as he does, she just waltzes right in and proceeds to create a scene. Oh, to have been at that party, at that dinner. The Reverend Dr. Jeff Marion, a pastor at Prince of Peace, offered a new way of looking at this text, and so much of my message today comes from his outline of how he interpreted this passage. So as we explore this today's gospel text, I want you to imagine that you are there in the room at Simon's house, watching all of this unfold, take place. And as you observe what's going on, where do you see yourself in this story? With whom do you identify? Simon? The woman? Jesus? Through what lens do you interpret what's happening? There's an ancient Jewish proverb that says, "We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are." In other words, we can never be completely objective about what we are experiencing because of who we are, our values, our morals, how we've been brought up, even our genetics all contribute to how we process, see, and judge ourselves, others, and the world around us. But maybe if we dare to be honest with ourselves today, we might just see ourselves in each one of those three characters. So let's begin by looking at Simon the Pharisee. So often in the Bible, the Pharisees have gotten a bad rap. But as Rolf Jacobson points out, in the first century, the Pharisees were most like Jesus. They were Jewish, and they lived in Galilee. They wanted to uphold the rules and the laws of the Torah, and they seriously and genuinely wanted to know about how to grow closer to God. These are the people, he says, that you would want on your church council. They're the leaders. And a note in my Bible, a footnote states, a meal with a Pharisee would provide an occasion to discuss who and who is not acceptable in God's kingdom. So, it's no surprise, then, is it, that Simon would invite Jesus, this prophet in question, to his house for a meal and a conversation about just that. Nor is it a surprise that Simon the Pharisee was seeing both the woman and Jesus through the lens or through the eyes of judgment. See, when Simon looked at the woman, all he could see was a sinner. And we don't know exactly what her sins were, nor do we know her name. History and interpretation have assumed that her sins were of a sexual nature. But we don't know that for sure. Luke doesn't tell us. Most likely, she is not Mary Magdalene. She comes on the scene later. And certainly, this is not Mary, the sister of Lazarus. The story sounds similar to other anointing stories in the other Gospels, but it's not the same. Luke places this story so much earlier in his Gospel because it is not an anointing in preparation for Jesus' death and burial. No, this story is there because it is about Jesus' love, his grace, his forgiveness, his mercy. And for Luke, true faith is what happens when someone looks at Jesus and discovers God's forgiveness. And the sign and the proof of that faith is nothing but love, pure love. This is an unnamed woman who realizes her sinful nature, her desperate need for forgiveness, which has already happened before she even comes on the scene and meets Jesus. But she knows where to find him. And she knows that this Jesus will love her, forgive her, and restore her to health as no other person can. But back to Simon. So Simon judges this woman on what he's heard and what he perceives, that she is indeed a sinner. But Simon also judges Jesus as being a false prophet because Jesus did not condemn this sinful woman, and a true prophet would have known all about her. And worst of all, Jesus allowed this sinful woman to touch him. And if that wasn't enough, before the story ends, Jesus will tell her in front of all the other guests that her sins are forgiven. And who else but God can forgive sins? So who must this Jesus be? In effect, Simon sees two people at his dinner party who do not measure up to his standards. Two people who were not worthy of his love and his ungracious hospitality. And yet remember that Simon was the one who did not offer Jesus, did not welcome Jesus with a kiss, with anointing, by washing his feet. So certainly that in itself would have been a sure sign of disrespect for Jesus. You know, I read this and I think about it, and so easily I want to point my fingers at Simon and say, how could you be so rude and judgmental? Simon, if you only knew who is sitting at your table, Jesus, the Son of God, yes, prophet, but so much more, the one who knows the very thoughts that you are thinking. But as soon as I point my finger at Simon, I realize that I've got three other fingers pointing back at myself. And then I see that I too often, through the lens of judgment. More than a few years ago, on a very cold, icy January day, I was driving my kids to school. I was going slowly, as were most of the people on the treacherous road that day. It's a day when school should have been called off, but it wasn't, and so we were all making our way very slowly to wherever we were going. Well, as I was crawling along on 120, almost to Larpinder Avenue, a car with its windows completely frosted over backs out of its driveway and hits my car. Fortunately, no one was hurt, given our slow speeds and seatbelts. So we pulled into this man's driveway to assess the damage and exchange insurance information. And he said, well, just wait a minute. I've got to go into my house and get my insurance card. So I waited and I waited. Finally, he comes out and he goes, oh, sorry, I have to confess, I don't have any insurance. And he went, oh, no, now what do I do? I knew that if I didn't call the police, I'd be in trouble when I got home. I began to process what might happen, lawsuit down the road and everything, and I said, no, we have to call the police, which he was not very happy about, but I did anyway. So the police come, we give them the report, and the police says to this man, yes, you were in violation of the law two times. You were driving with a completely obstructed windows. You could not see where you were going at all, and you have no insurance. And I'm thinking, see, well, I'm glad I called the cop. That was the right thing to do. He is so in the wrong. But then the policeman says to me, wait a minute, Mrs. Moser, before you leave, I have a ticket for you, too. I thought, me? What did I do wrong? I didn't do anything wrong. And he says, come here. Look at your license plate. What month is it? I said, well, it's January. He said, and what does the plate say? Oh, December. Oh, my plate had expired. He said, so I have to give you a ticket as well. I went, oh, how did that happen? Truth be told, when we judge others, it's often to make ourselves feel superior because we have a tendency to judge ourselves unworthy of not measuring up. So we put others down. There's a false sense of power in seeing ourselves as better than or right or having it all together. But in life, and when all is said and done, what really matters is Jesus' judgment, the one who sees us as we are, sick, broken, sinful, and yet so good, lovable, and worthy of God's forgiveness. We are both saint and sinner. And when through faith we come to grasp that judgment, our Savior's judgment, we are set free from judging ourselves and others. Faith leads us to see how God loves us. And that is a good thing, and it is life-giving. Sarah Groves is a songwriter, and she sings a beautiful song called I Play for an Audience of One, meaning it's ultimately and only Jesus, his image, his perception, his judgment of us that matters. So enough about Simon, though, the man who saw others through the eyes of judgment. What about the woman, the sinner? She, on the other hand, sees through the eyes of the lens of gratitude. And I so admire this woman, for she is bold, she's courageous, and she literally steps out in faith. She knows where to find Jesus on that evening. She is on a mission, and nothing is going to stop her. And so she brings her alabaster jar filled with this expensive aromatic ointment or perfume in order to anoint Jesus, to show her love and gratitude at having been forgiven of her sins. But before she can even get that jar opened, before Jesus even says anything to her, her tears fall, her tears of joy and gratitude fall on Jesus' feet, and she wipes them with her hair, hair that has been let down, something no respectable woman would have done in that culture at that time. And she continues to kiss his feet over and over again, anointing them with that oil. But Simon must have thought. Again, the fact that Jesus allows her to not only touch him, but to continue in such a provocative way must have driven Simon up a wall. Yet this woman was really no more or less a sinner than Simon. What set them apart is that she had courage and humility to embrace the forgiveness of Jesus, and Simon did not. So then Jesus drives the point home with a parable of the two debtors. The woman, understanding that she stood in great need of forgiveness, accepted Jesus' love and could not hold back her gratitude and joy. Simon didn't think he needed any forgiveness, and so he loved little. Jesus trapped him with that lesson. So too, when we realize our daily need for forgiveness and God's immeasurable love that does not condemn those, as Paul says, who are in Christ Jesus, we are a new creation. We know and experience the freedom, the peace, the joy that that brings. And sometimes even we break out in tears and we fall down and weep tears of gratitude. When I was working on an addiction clinic, our unit at Mayo, I had the chance to offer spiritual direction to a woman who was coming to grips with her disease and where it had taken her over so many years. One of the things that she lamented was that she had wandered away from the church. She was Catholic, so I told her about the beautiful chapel at St. Mary's Hospital and the compassionate priest that I had come to know. And I suggested that maybe she might want to try attending Mass that weekend. And she told me, well, she said, I'll think about it. Well, the following week when we met, I asked her if she had attended Mass, and she said, oh, not only did I go to Mass, I also went to confession. And I said, well, how was that? Thinking back to how confession used to be. And she said, oh, it was the best. She said, tears began to run down her cheeks. She said, it was so easy because Father Johnny and I just sat together, just like we are talking now. And I told him my story. And when I was all done talking, he said to me that my sins, all of them, were completely forgiven, that God had forgotten all about them. And then he blessed me. And he held out his arms to hug me. And he said, welcome home. Welcome home. Jesus saw Simon, the woman, and he sees each one of us through the lens of clarity and love. Jesus sees all. He knows all. He sees our sins, and he knows that we need forgiveness, which he gives freely. And when we can accept those gifts, as the woman did, knowing that deep down in our hearts, without any doubt, that what God has done for us and through Jesus is true, then we too know the ultimate freedom, peace, and joy of being a Christian. Dr. Marion writes, the greatest joy of God's heart is when a sinner embraces by faith the gift of forgiveness and is set free to live and see through the eyes or the lens of gratitude. Faith dares us to see ourselves as Jesus sees us, broken, in need of forgiveness, in need of a Savior. Faith gives us the courage to say, yes, I'm not all I want to be, and I know I'm not all that God made me to be, but I'm forgiven, I'm loved, and worthy. My sin does not define me, but Jesus' love and grace do. Sometimes it seems too good to be true, doesn't it? That Jesus could know the whole truth about us and yet still love us completely and forgive us fully. But that's why they call it the good news. So accept it, embrace it, believe it, live it, and pass it on. To God be the glory. Amen.